I'm happy to be here. Also, happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there as well. Just a special announcement. Tonight at 7 p.m., we are having a Love Talk concert with First Love Church North America. All of you are invited. It's on Zoom. It's with the entire North American Church and Canada. Tonight at 7 p.m., the link will come out for Zoom, and everyone here is invited. Let's just have a quick word of prayer as we enter into a time of the word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that you have brought here to church this afternoon. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing in our lives. I thank you for what you are doing in all of their lives. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to keep us, continue to guide us, Lord. Continue to open a door for us to serve you, God. Continue to create opportunities for us, Lord, to do things for you and to work for you, Lord. We are thankful that for another Sunday, we are thankful, Lord, that you've kept us, that you've brought us safely into your house, Lord. We give you thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, everyone. Yeah, so I want to welcome everyone once again to church. You know, it's a blessing to be here. You know, before we start, I just want to say, you know, when you have an opportunity to come to church and be a part of our church, you know, take full advantage of it. You know, all of these videos that we've shown to this afternoon, the Dancing Stars, the Zoom etiquette video, you know, somebody has to edit those and put those together. But if you notice in all the videos, you see young people actually doing things for the Lord, right? People just like you and I, actually engaged in working for God, right? Something has touched their heart to work for the Lord. I just want to encourage us that, you know, as we are living our lives, as we are going through our day-to-day lives, you know, I want to encourage us that, you know, someday when we get to heaven, someday, you know, when you are closer to the end of your life rather than the beginning of your life, you know, the things that will matter, the things that will count is what you've done for the Lord, right? That's what will matter to God, right? Not so much your degree, your job, the money you've earned. You know, it's what you've done to serve God. And you can service God in any way, right? So being a part of a church is a great door. It's a great opportunity. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9, the Bible says that a great door is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. You know, sometimes some of the adversaries that keep us from really serving God the way we should is simply laziness. Yeah, if we be honest, it's just laziness. Maybe you for some reason see that there's a chance to work for God. You know that God is important to you, but you can't seem to bring yourself. Sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's anxiety, but I'm here to encourage you today that any opportunity you have to service God, you know, we must take full advantage of it. Jody sung a song this afternoon that said, I want to go deeper with God. I want to go deeper into God. And service to God is one of the ways that you can go deeper into him. Servicing God is one of the ways that you can, you know, open a door for blessing into your life. So, you know, I just want to encourage each of us, before we go on, I just wanted to encourage each of us that, you know, take advantage of being a part of a church. Yeah, many people are not really a part of a church. I'm not really a part of a church they can work for. Yeah, many churches, because of COVID, because of the pandemic, are online. So many people who are doing things maybe in the physical church now are just at home clicking a button and you're in church. And that is the full extent of their service to God. But you know, we have a lot of opportunities in our church to work for God. Opportunities that may not even require you to be front and center. So if you wanna learn how to edit videos, we have those opportunities. If you wanna be a part of an usher in the church, we have those opportunities. You know, I just want to encourage us that someday what will matter in your life, and when you look back on your life, what you will always remember are the opportunities and the things you did for the Lord. Amen. So I just wanted to encourage us with that. You know, the topic that we've been studying over the past month is about prayer. We've been discussing the topic of prayer and how to become more prayerful. Maybe over the past month and a half, and we are continuing with the prayer topic. We are only going deeper into prayer. You know, today's message is going to be a little bit deeper, right? I'm believing God that we are growing in our Christianity. That as we are hearing these messages Sunday after Sunday, You know, we're not just staying the same or staying at the same level, but rather we are growing in our faith. We are growing in our spirituality. You know, many of us have problems that we deal with on a weekly basis, a daily basis even, right? Every day is a fight. Many of us have problems that we deal with on a daily basis. And you see, one of the things that will help many of us to overcome these problems is prayer. Yeah, I think I said it last week. There are some mistakes, there are some problems that are continuing in your life, or there are some things that haven't stopped in your life because of your lack of prayer. Yeah, some of you are feeling down, you are feeling like you can't increase your life, you can't move on in your life. What is going to open a door to that next level in your life is prayer. Yeah, and I know it may sound, you know, like, oh, this is just what I'm supposed to say. But no, it is truly that prayer is what will open the next stage of your life for you. So the title of today's message is entitled Praying in the Spirit. Yeah, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Amen. So many of you may be asking, how do you pray in the Spirit? Or what is praying in the Spirit? So praying in the Spirit is when you are praying and you are being led by the Holy Spirit, right? So you may be asking, even before we get to that point, you know, what is the Holy Spirit, right? The Bible says that when Jesus was crucified on the cross, you know, he told his disciples that I'm leaving you my Holy Spirit, which is a comforter. Right. So one of the things the Holy Spirit can do for you is it can be a comforter. Now, see, today's topic, before I even begin, is highly rooted in faith. So everything I'm going to say today is really going to test your faith level in Christ. Right. Because you will only believe these things if you really have faith in the God you say that you are believing in. Yeah, that is the only way that you'll believe everything I'm about to say. So if you are somebody who's struggling with your faith or you are not sure, by the end of today's message, you will know if you truly believe the way you say you believe. Because if you are a proper born-again Christian and you are believing in God, then you must believe also in the Holy Spirit. There is no, the two do not coexist. You cannot say you are a real Christian and you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make sense. It's like saying you are a nurse, but you don't have a degree or a certification. You are not really a nurse. Yeah. So it's the same for being a Christian. If you say you are a Christian, you must believe in the Holy Spirit. You must believe in what the Holy Spirit can do for you. So what is the Holy Spirit? If you turn your Bibles to John 14, 26, John chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus gives an explicit definition of the Holy Spirit here. John 14, 26, the Bible says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit. So pay attention to the different names or the way that Jesus Christ describes the Holy Spirit. Number one, he describes it as an advocate. Yeah, an advocate. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. So the Holy Spirit is an advocate and it has the ability to teach you all things. That's why sometimes Jody, when we're leading prayer, Jody will lead us to pray for the spirits, for God's presence to be with us, for God's presence to speak through me. You see, what she's really praying for is that the Holy Spirit will speak through me, that I will say something at some point during the message that will be just for you. Yeah, that's why it says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, that something I will say today will teach you something, that everything I'm about to say will teach you something. And that's why it's very important to re-listen to these messages again and again, because you will not get everything in just this service. This is a 30-minute message, and then we close. You will not get everything just in this message, but where you will get it is through the listening again and again. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Yeah, and by hearing the word of God. So it is important that you become somebody who listens to messages regularly. That is how you will grow your faith level. But yeah, back to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, would teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Yeah, the Holy Spirit can also, number two, it can remind you of things. It can bring things back to your remembrance. Yeah, one of the things that the Holy Spirit is great at doing is reminding you of the things the Lord has done for you. Sometimes when you are feeling down, when you are feeling defeated, when you are feeling like you are struggling, what the Holy Spirit, at least for me, my greatest experience with the Holy Spirit is that it reminds me of the things the Lord has done for me. Yeah, David also, if you read in the book of Psalms, King David also acknowledges that the Holy Spirit does this for him as well. You know, David said that when he's depressed, he actually used the word depressed. David said that when he's depressed, he reminds himself on the good things the Lord has done for him, rather it's really the Holy Spirit, yeah, who's reminding him on those good things. Amen. So the Holy Spirit has the power to do three things. Number one, it has the power to be an advocate for you, meaning that when you pray, the Holy Spirit has the power to advocate to God for you. You know, we're going to talk about what does it mean to pray in the Spirit today. And one of the things I want you to remember is that when you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is advocating for you. Yeah. You know, many of us, we're bad. If we'll be honest, we are not good Christians. We are not the best that we can be. We see opportunities for improvement. We see weaknesses. We see areas that we are flawed in. We see areas that we're struggling in. And when you pray in the Spirit, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2, as we are going, it says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. So when you are praying in the Spirit, I'm sure many of you have heard someone praying in tongues. You've heard people speaking in tongues. You hear somebody praying and they'll say Shabayaba, and you hear that. And you may even question, what is this person saying? Or you may wonder, what are they saying? Is it real? Are they really talking? I mean, are they just making noises? Yeah, but you see, the Bible says, and the reason why you and I may not understand when we hear someone else speak tongues, the Bible says that for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. So when you are hearing somebody speak Shabalaba, Siyanaba, when you are hearing people talk like that and you are hearing them pray in tongues, they are not speaking to you. They are speaking to God. So the Holy Spirit is advocating for them to God. And it says, indeed, no one understands them, but they utter mysteries by the Spirit. This is my favorite part. It says that they utter mysteries by the Spirit. Yeah, it's like when you are praying in tongues, you don't know what you are praying for. Yeah, you may have an issue, but you decide to pray in tongues for 1 hour. In that 1 hour, you could pray for your life in 10 years. You could pray for your future children. You could pray for your future ministry. You could be praying for the job you will have in 20 years. You could be praying for some wisdom for a decision you need to take in 15 years. You don't know, because it says that they utter mysteries by the Spirit. You could be praying that God will heal you from some sickness that you may not see until 10 years will come. And it's saying that by the mysteries of the Spirit, it's like when you are speaking in tongues, you don't know what you are saying. Only God knows what you are saying. Next verse, please. Because anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. Yes, anyone who speaks in tongue edifies themselves. So why must we as Christians, why must we as born again, proper believing Christians, you know, people who come to church every Sunday, why must we take a decision to speak in tongues, or why must we desire to speak in tongues? You know, if you don't know how to speak in tongues, it's not a bad thing. Yeah, you are still a Christian. You are still born again. But you must desire to speak in tongues, because speaking in tongues has this ability. It has the ability to, it says that anyone who speaks in tongues edifies themselves. Yeah, when you speak in tongues, if you read this verse in another version, the Bible says that if you speak in tongues, you are building up yourself. Yeah, when you speak in tongues, you are building up yourselves. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 that there was a wise man who built his house on a rock, and there was a foolish man who built his house on sand. I believe we have that verse. Yeah, when you build your house up on a rock, it will stand against the weathers of life. It will stand against the issues, the temptations, the struggles, and the challenges of life. Amen. So it is important to desire to build yourself up, to pray in tongues. I believe we had that verse, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Matthew 7 verse 24, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, if you have your Bible with you, these should be in red. These are the words of Jesus. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. When you pray in tongues, you are building yourself up on a solid foundation. Next verse, please. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. Yeah, you will not fall in Jesus' name. You will not fall. And the Bible says, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. When you pray in tongues, you build up yourself so that you will have your foundation built on a rock. That means that when the rain comes, when the streams rose, and when the winds blow and beat up and beat against you, you see, in this life, you will have these experiences. Everyone who is here at one point or another in their life has felt the rain coming down. Yeah, you have felt the winds blowing and beating against you. But the Bible says that when you are in a storm, because you have been built on a solid foundation, because you have found yourself to be built on a rock, you will not fall. Amen. Next verse. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. So everyone who hears this and doesn't begin to desire that they want to pray in tongues is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Next verse, please. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Yeah, if you don't pray in tongues, if you don't pray at all, yeah, if you are a Christian who is prayerless, you don't pray at all. You can go 7 days, no prayer. 2 weeks, you haven't prayed. I mean, there is no prayer found in your life. You should be very afraid because of the first sign of an issue. This is what will happen to you. It says that it fell with a great crash. You will fall. At the first sign of an issue, you will fall. If you are prayerless as a Christian, you must become very afraid. Prayer is the only communion we have with the Lord. So if you do not pray as a Christian, if you do not believe in the practice of prayer, you know, I remember some time ago, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, I was on a prayer meeting. It was over the phone. We were praying and a pastor was leading us. And I think near the end of the prayer meeting, he made a comment where he said, you know, at what point are you going to stop playing church? Yeah, he said, at what point are you guys going to stop just playing church? And at what point are you guys going to become real Christians? Yeah, and that was a sign. You know, we were on a prayer meeting. We were praying, all right. But he knew that we were not real Christians. We were just playing church. So what does it mean to play church? Playing church is when you are just doing things in church. It means that you are just coming to church. You participate in church. You serve in church. Great, wonderful. But then when you go home, you have no prayer time with God. You don't pray to God. You don't speak with God. You don't spend time reading your Bible. I mean, you do nothing. You are dry. Only time you interact with God is Sunday from 12 until 1:30. I mean, it's an issue. It's a major problem as a Christian that must be worked on, that must be developed. It actually shows that you are just playing church or you're just playing religion. Yeah, you are rather just playing religion. This religion that we call Christianity is based off of a private relationship with God. Yeah, don't become deceived and think that your religion is based off of the church you are in, or that your religion is based off of your service to God. Your religion is based off of a private relationship. This thing we call Christianity is based off of a private relationship. Amen. When you become saved, it is your own salvation. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4 that you should work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. So speaking to God, you know, it can be difficult. Yeah, praying can be difficult. When you are praying as a Christian, you know, it can be difficult to pray. It can be difficult to know what to talk with God about. And that's why he's helped us with the Holy Spirit. If you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, the Bible says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Yeah, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Yeah, sometimes you'll hear somebody praying in tongues and they'll just be saying the same thing again and again. It is this verse in happening in real life. It says that the Spirit will help you in your weaknesses. Many of us, our weakness is prayer. We do not pray, and it's a weakness as a Christian if you do not pray. And the Spirit can help you to pray. It is the Holy Spirit who will help you to pray for 30 minutes. To actually pray for 30 minutes, it is the Holy Spirit who can help you. Because it says that we do not know what we ought to pray for. I mean, by the time you pray to God and you ask him about your job, you ask him about your family, you ask him about your relationship, by the time you tell God you need more money, by the time you give thanks to God that you are happy, you thank him for your health, maybe 5 minutes have passed. That's it. 5 minutes have passed. You don't know what you ought to pray for. But the Bible says that the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Yeah, the Spirit then steps in and it can speak for you to God. Next verse, please. Verse 27. It says, and he who searches our hearts. This is the Bible. This is written by the Apostle Paul. So Paul is saying here that the God who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You know, for those of you who've been coming to our impartation services on Tuesday nights, we've been studying about the perfect will of God. And one of the ways to receive the perfect will of God is praying in the Spirit. When you pray, this verse here says that the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You know, for those of you who are around, we did a series on how to receive 100% answered prayer. And one of the steps to receiving 100% answered prayer was not praying amiss. It's like you can pray, all right, but everything you've prayed for, God doesn't have plans to give you. It's not in his will for your life. So rather, praying in the Spirit, you 100% will guarantee that what you are praying about, that whatever it may be, that the mysteries that are coming out of your mouth, it is in accordance with the will of God for your life. That is one of the steps to receiving 100% answered prayer, is praying in the will of God. And how do you guarantee that you are praying in the will of God? It is by praying in the Spirit. Amen. So as we are moving, as we are closing, actually, time is already fast spent. How you can receive the Holy Spirit, right? So I'm going to help you guys to receive the Holy Spirit. So for those of you who maybe you don't know how to pray in tongues, maybe today's even the first Sunday that you are ever hearing about the Holy Spirit, or maybe you haven't believed in it. Yeah, maybe as I've been preaching, you realize that you don't really believe in this thing called the Holy Spirit. But as you've heard this today's message, you are believing and you are understanding that there is something called the Holy Spirit, and it is a great benefit to you. Yeah, don't get me wrong. If you are a Christian and you are praying and you don't know how to pray in tongues, you don't know how to speak in tongues, you don't know how to interact with the Holy Spirit, you know, it's okay. It's fine. But there's a higher level you can go in your faith. Yeah, there's a higher level you can go. It's like if you go to college and you have an associate's degree, it's great. You can get a job with an associate's degree. You can take care of yourself. You can take care of your family. But there's a higher level you can go to. Yeah. Or you have just a certification. I don't know why today I'm on the nurses, but if you just have an LPN, for example, yeah, just a certification as an LPN, there's a higher level which can bring you more. It can give you more opportunity. And you see that if you just have faith, and you pray and you just speak in English, yeah, it's wonderful, it's great. But there's a higher level, and the Holy Spirit brings that higher level into your life. Amen. So how you can receive the Holy Spirit? 1 John 1:9, please. 1 John 1:9. The first step to receiving the Holy Spirit is confession of your sins. So each of us, you know, we all are sinful by nature. I don't want us to, you know, if you are in this church, I don't want any of us to ever make the mistake that by nature we are righteous people. The Bible says that righteousness is a gift. Yeah, so sometimes you'll hear people refer to righteousness and they'll be speaking about their ability to be good. No, but you are righteous because you are saved. So you will not lose your righteousness, just like how I would not lose my righteousness, because we are all saved. Salvation, being a born-again Christian, accepting Jesus Christ into your life, that is what makes you righteous. Yeah, you are not unrighteous because you sin. Yeah, I just want us to make that clear distinction. 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So the first step to receiving the Holy Spirit is asking God to forgive you of your sins. Yeah, if you confess your sins, if you go to God and you speak with God about the things you've done that you know are wrong, the things you've done that you know are mistakes, yeah, the things you've done that you know you should be able to correct, but you can't seem to stop. Yeah, he is faithful and just. Yeah, he will forgive us of our sins. This verse, you know, if you believe in God, this verse shows you the full extent of his love for us. Yeah, you know, sometimes maybe we take advantage or we forget what Jesus Christ really did for us on the cross, or we put it to the side. We maybe, you know, we become routine in our faith. But the fact that God really sent his son and for him to die on the cross for you and I, and the Bible says that by simply with that act, we have been purified from all our sins. So the sin that you will commit on Wednesday, you've been purified from it already. Amen. So the first step to receiving the Holy Spirit is confession of your sins. The next step to receiving the Holy Spirit is ask for the Holy Spirit. Yeah, ask. Physically ask God for it. Luke 11, verse 13. Luke 11 and verse 13. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Yeah, we are naturally bad people. We are naturally evil people. But we know how to give good gifts to your children. You know, today's Valentine's Day. A lot of people are giving good gifts to people they love today. Yeah, they've actually been thoughtful. They've been strategic. They've actually given good gifts to people. There are some people who actually, you know, are giving gifts, not just, you know, flowers and chocolates, but maybe a specific thing that this person likes. Yeah, maybe you have someone that you love and they specifically like candles. Yeah, they specifically like candles. So you've gone and you've bought them 6 different type of candles. It's a very specific gift. And that person will recognize it as a good gift. Or maybe you have a child, and you know your child likes a certain type of toy, and you specifically go and buy it for them when you see that toy out. Yeah, it's a good gift. But we are evil, and we can give good gifts. And then the Bible says, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So let's not overly spookify, if that's the word. Let's not overly spookify the Holy Spirit. You know, let's understand that the Holy Spirit is given freely to all of us. Jesus said that when he died, what he was leaving with us was the Holy Spirit. So it's for us, for all of us. We can all go to God and ask him for the Holy Spirit, right? So first step is confession of your sins. Pray and ask God to be forgiven of your sins. And then the second step is asking God explicitly for the Holy Spirit. The next step, I'm giving about 5 steps to receiving the Holy Spirit. The next step is open your mouth and speak to God. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Amen. So when you pray and you ask God to receive the Holy Spirit, the next step after that is just to begin to speak. Begin to speak to God, allow the Spirit to work in you. But I want to encourage you that if the first time you do this, it does not work, you must be persistent and do it again. The next step to receiving the Holy Spirit is pray until you receive. 1 John chapter 5, And verse 14, 1 John 5, 14. 1 John 5, 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask according to his will, once again, you see the will of God is coming back. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. God wants to give you the Holy Spirit. There is no one here who God does not want to bless with the Holy Spirit. He left it here for us, but we must open our mouths and ask. Next verse, verse 15, please. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Amen. So pray until you receive. If you know that receiving the Holy Spirit is in accordance to his will, you know, pray until you receive the Holy Spirit. Ask again. If you pray today and you don't receive it, ask on Monday. Then you ask on Tuesday. Then you ask on Wednesday. Ask every day for the Holy Spirit, and God will definitely hear you. The fourth step to receiving the Holy Spirit is persistence. Persistence. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. You know, I hope you guys are being blessed by this message. Like I said, today's message is a stretch of your faith. Everything I'm saying, if you don't really have faith, you won't be able to believe it. You won't really stand on it. You won't really accept it for you. You see, there are deeper messages as you grow in your faith. And this is one of those deeper messages. So Luke 11, 5, it says, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Next verse, please. This is about persistence. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Next verse. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship. Yeah. So if you are stretching this to your prayer life, God may not give you something because you are a Christian right away. Yeah, sometimes we may think that because you believe, you should receive it. That may not always be how it works. The Bible says, then yet because of your shameless audacity, he surely will get up and give you as much as you need. So because of the audacity to ask again and again, because you have the confidence to ask again and again, because you have the faith to ask again and again. In the book of Luke, the Bible tells a story that there was a woman who was looking for food and Jesus came. The woman wasn't a believer. And I believe the woman was a believer. She came and she was looking for food. And she had a daughter who was sick, but Jesus couldn't go and heal her daughter. Yeah, Jesus couldn't go to her house and heal her daughter who was there. So Jesus told the woman, I can't come with you to go heal your daughter. And the woman told Jesus that don't even the dogs underneath the table deserve crumbs. Meaning that even those of us who maybe are not within this certain region or within this area that you can heal us, don't we also deserve you to do something for us? And Jesus said, because of this, your faith, you have been healed, or your daughter has been healed. Amen. And the same thing applies here. Because of your faith, because you have kept knocking and knocking. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, the Bible says, knock and you will be opened. Because you keep asking God for something, God can bless you with it. Amen. And lastly, the last step to receiving the Holy Spirit, John 7, 38. John chapter 7 and verse 38, as we close. It says, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Next verse, please. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Amen. The last step to receiving the Holy Spirit is let the rivers flow in your life. Amen. Let the rivers flow. This verse is explaining that you must allow the rivers to flow. Now that Jesus Christ has been glorified, you see the verse on the screen says that up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given. since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus Christ at this point in time had not been crucified. And because he had not been crucified yet, the Spirit was not given. But now that he's been crucified, the Spirit has been left with us. Amen. And we have the opportunity as Christians to relate with the Holy Spirit, to interact with the Holy Spirit, to have a close personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I'm inviting each and every one of you. I believe this is a door for you in your life. To take that next step in your relationship with God, to grow and to increase yourself, and to open a door that you will develop a relationship with God, that you will develop a deeper walk with Christ. We are going deeper this year with our relationship with Christ. So wherever you are, wherever you may be, just close your eyes and bow your head. Pray for a few moments. You know, pray about the Holy Spirit. Pray about the desire you have in your heart for the Holy Spirit to lead you, for the Holy Spirit to guide you. Pray for a deeper understanding of the Holy Spirit. You may not understand fully what the Holy Spirit is capable of today, but as you go on, you will understand. So just place your hand over your heart and pray for 2 minutes. Just pray for 2 minutes about the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are coming to you this afternoon. We are coming to you, Lord, and we are praying for just the Holy Spirit, Lord. We are praying for just the Holy Spirit this afternoon. Help us, oh God. Help us to be filled by your Spirit, Lord. Help us, oh God. Open a door for us to be filled by the Spirit. Lift up your voices and pray for just one more minute. We are praying. Lord, open a door for us. We are thankful to you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives. We are thankful to you, Lord, for the opportunity, God. The opportunity that you gave us, Lord, to learn about the Holy Spirit, God. I pray, Lord, that as we go on, God, that our desire will increase for the Holy Spirit. Our desire to get closer to you will increase, Lord. Help us, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We are blessed. So at this time, if I'm not mistaken, at this time, we will invite our sister Elizabeth to come and share the announcements with us. I just want to say once again, you are blessed for coming to today's service. And I would recommend everyone to re-listen to today's message again on our podcast.